Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans, college playoff football fans around across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim special edition of the Tim May Show with Bill Bender. It's always special when Bill Bender of the Sporting News joins me, but especially so this week because let's figure out if we can, Bill. Number one, where is Ohio State playing in a couple of weeks? And who are they playing? We still don't know yet. We do know for a fact Ohio State's going to be playing in some form or fashion in the college football playoff, despite the disaster of the previous weekend, the 13-10 shocking loss to Michigan.
Yeah, they'll play. I think they're still going to get a first round home game, as I told you before we came on. There's really, in a weird sense, you would never guess this, there's nowhere to go but up. They're lodged into the 8 seed right now, which is a home playoff game, meaning they're ahead of Tennessee. That's important because, as Ward Manuel was saying, teams that aren't playing this weekend, there's really no room to move. So, or not move, move. The teams playing in conference championship games can move, but Tennessee's not going to leapfrog Ohio State based on a theory. So now, Tim, I would ask you, I'm going to ask you this right back. I'm going back and forth on what will happen with Penn State. On one end, they could, if Penn State loses to Oregon, they could say, hey, Ohio State beat Penn State head to head. They should be ranked ahead of them, which could happen. Or they could use the twisted logic that they use sometimes in the playoff committee, where they're like, well, they played in the conference championship game. That means something. We'll leave Penn State in the six and put Ohio State in the seven. Either one of those things could happen. Although I'm one of the guys that thinks, Buckeyes, if Penn State loses, Ohio State probably should be ranked ahead of them.
Well, here's the way, Bill, you've been around this as long as I have, the college football playoff for sure. They can justify anything they do. I mean, because Ward Manuel, and I don't blame him, man. Don't be pigeonholed into saying, Penn State's our number three team no matter what. Because, of course, that can't happen. Because, I mean, it can be happened. You get up there, the third place team, but they won't get the automatic, they won't get the bye. And the automatic bid into the top four because they will have lost to Oregon. You know what I mean? So it's that's what's confusing, I think, for a lot of people. The penultimate, the next to last penultimate rankings don't include the playoff, the conference championship results. There, I finally got it out of my head and my mouth. So it's you're still looking at this, and you're not seeing exactly. You're not reading a book. You're reading a book with a book with the words all jumbled up still, because they can still put them in any order they want and make any kind of sentence they want for the opening sentence of the college football playoff 2024. So that's what's interesting to me. But you could justify moving Penn State below Ohio State for two reasons. Number one, Ohio State beat Penn State. Number two, hey, finally, Penn State has two losses just like Ohio State. You know what I mean? So, yet they had to play an extra game. So, to me, it's really interesting. I just wanted to get your take on this. Let's just go through the scenario a little bit. Let's say Oregon beats Penn State. Oregon is your number one seed. Oregon gets the first round bye. That leaves Penn State to drop. So, where would you, Bill Bender, based on what you've seen in the committee, would you put Penn State? In between Ohio State and Tennessee, below Tennessee and above SMU. SMU is also playing what in the conference championship game. So, what do you do with that, committee member, Bill Bender?
Well, if Penn State and Georgia both lose, Ohio State will bump up to the 6th seed, in my opinion. I think Penn State would fall to the rankings are what they are. Penn State would drop. Ohio State would move back up. I think they would honor head to head. The committee has a history of honoring the head to head. They do. They honored it the other night with Alabama, which we can talk about a little bit. But so that pushes Ohio State to a 6th seed where they're probably playing. At this point, the Big 12 champion, and that could change, but you're probably looking at Arizona State or Iowa State in the first round. That's not as sexy as a in my opinion, it's not as sexy as a Tennessee Ohio State matchup, which would be a lot of fun in the shoe.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it would be a good draw for Ohio State because you're looking at six seed, then you're probably playing the three seed in the second round, which is probably going to be
What,
either
Notre Dame?
SMU or Clemson,
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
one of the ACC champion, which,
Yeah.
you know, that's probably what you're looking at there. Out of this seven or eight seed, you're shooting out and playing SEC champion or Big Ten champion in your second round game. So there are the I can't wait for Sunday to see the people that haven't, and I never say casual fan, and people that really haven't sat down and like know how this format works, which is going to be a high percentage of college football fans. When they see the bracket and the rankings, they're going to be like, why don't they match?
Yeah.
I've been saying that for a month,
Yeah.
and they're going to have a lot of questions about that. So, I mean, for Ohio State, the favorable draw is in play, but I mean, they're still going to have to go out and play no matter what.
Yeah. Is there any game this weekend that could really just stir up the mud, for this group? I mean, we you know when you, the conference championship games, is there anything that could really make it really cloudy going into Sunday morning?
Yeah, the Clemson win,
Yeah.
which is so ironic that Dabo Swinney 2 weeks ago at a press conference labeled the playoff the SEC Big Ten Invitational. Dabo Swinney's lost to two SEC schools at Clemson this year. They got blown out by Georgia. They lose to their rival South Carolina.
Yeah.
And here's Clemson, and he's 8-1 in the ACC championship game, playing the newbies, the ponies, and they could win and be a three seed.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's the lunacy of this format to me, though,
Yeah.
because I think what they should do, and we've talked about this, you can have your conference championship games, you can have your automatic berths. Once you have your 12, seed them properly.
Yeah.
Ohio State shouldn't be seeded. Ohio State and Penn State shouldn't be seeded behind Clemson, no matter
Yeah.
what happens Saturday. And the other thing, conference championship weekend, there isn't a lot of room for like chaos. I mean, the Big 12, straightforward, winners in. Boise State, UNLV, winners in. The SEC and Big Ten games, as you and I had talked about in the summer, those are more for seeding. They're not for those, all four of those teams are in. I don't think Georgia can fall out. Some people are trying to make that a thing, but I think they got, as Joe Tessitore reminded us several times on Friday night, this was clinching a playoff berth if they beat Georgia Tech, but I do think they're in.
Yeah, I got tired of hearing that. I mean,
I
because
think we all did.
the committee is yet to speak, except the committee has got Georgia number five in this week's ratings, just ahead of Ohio State, both with two losses, and then Tennessee, which lost to Georgia but also lost to Arkansas. And you could say the same thing about Ohio State. You know, it lost to number one Oregon, but it also lost to 6-5 Michigan. I was a little surprised, really, to be honest with you. You know, basically, as you made your way through the gloom and doom out of Ohio Stadium, that Ohio State did stay number six in these ratings. Were you a little surprised that Tennessee didn't go by them, even though if you compare the resumes, Ohio State's got the better resume by far based on playing teams that matter. But I was a little surprised. That just shows me a little bit of a crack in the door. What do you think?
It does. And I think they it's justifiable. It had either way, it would have been justifiable to me. Had they put Tennessee ahead of Ohio State, I would have said, okay. Yeah, they're looking at that Michigan loss, and despite the rivalry factor saying it's a bad loss, Tennessee, that loss at Arkansas is worse to me, though.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
think. Close.
Oh, I think it is.
It's close. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I think
close.
Michigan right now could play with a lot of people, especially if those we're gonna get in this a minute real quick in a minute, let you have your say, especially if you decide to run right at the strength of their defense. But you know, I follow now, this is what people, you know, really have a hard time understanding is Notre Dame, no matter what's playing on the December 21st weekend. Even though they're number four in the ratings, correct?
They will, and that's another wrinkle to this, to be like,
Yeah,
why is Notre
wrinkle.
Dame?
Yeah, that's a big, yeah.
So if Penn State, let me try
Crease.
this one on. Let's try this one on. If Penn State and Georgia both win, which isn't out of the question, Penn State will be ranked number one in the final rankings, which none of us had in July. I certainly didn't. Notre Dame will be ranked number two in the rankings, but still number five in the seeding. Again, this is, and I don't care that they're not playing a conference championship game. It's stupid. So they will play in a first round game, probably play, and they could play Alabama. It's very feasible that they play Alabama to, and I would say that they'll probably open the playoff with that one. They'll say you two are going to play on Friday night. That would be fun. But yeah, that's another, because they don't play in a conference championship game, they don't have the opportunity for a first round bye. I remember Jack Swarbrick, when this, the former Notre Dame athletic director, when this format was announced, he was on the presser, or the teleconference, sorry, with Bill Hancock. And I remember him saying, I don't want to hear anything about a conference championship game again. Actually works the other way for me, is like, if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're like, why are we playing? Why don't we get to be a bye? And that's the cost. So
Yeah, get in the conference. That's what I would
that's a
scream at
fair,
them.
that's fair too.
They're
That's
quasi
fair.
in a conference anyway, and they're in conferences with every other sport. Get in
I
a conference.
do you think Notre Dame is better than Indiana? I do. I think Notre Dame would beat Indiana, but they haven't played, I guess Indiana hasn't played a
Yeah,
strong schedule either.
I think Notre Dame is better than Indiana, but I'm telling you, Indiana's sneaky. Indiana's one of those sneaky good teams that I think can line up and play you defensively pretty well, and is pretty sneaky offensively. They can make some things happen. I mean, the funny thing is, I mean, I know Ohio State sort of handled them, but a couple of things went awry for Indiana at the end of the first half that turned it Ohio State's way. But I think Indiana's actually better than a lot of people think it is at 11-1. So that's where I fall on that. But who wouldn't want to see the battle of Indiana and Notre Dame? While Purdue looks for a new head coach, but who wouldn't want to see that? I mean, I think it would be must-see TV.
Right. And I think that's a potential first round matchup as well.
Yep.
So, but most of the teams are in. The only team outside the field that isn't playing in a conference championship game, I mean, I don't think there is one. If you're playing in a conference championship game, you've got a shot. Some teams could move around, but I don't think like they're suddenly going to bump Miami or South Carolina up. Those teams are out. They're probably going to have to settle for a nice bowl game.
Yeah.
And that's the trick with this format. It's actually easier. There's less drama for me. I guess the last minute drama will be, what do we do with SMU and Clemson? I would ask you this one. I think this is the other one that could pop up. Clemson wins. We discussed that. Would you take Alabama with three losses or SMU with two?
Yeah. I mean, you're putting me between a rock and a hard place. I just think when you're sitting here with three losses, you don't belong in the playoff. That's my thought. Because there are other teams that have had really good seasons too. And if you just start stacking it about how you did in the club, which is the SEC, I don't think that's fair either. I mean, I really don't see an elite team from the Southeastern Conference this year. That's the way I'm looking at it. Texas is lucky. Texas, to a certain extent, a little bit lucky to be where it is based on a couple of its games during a year. So I would have SMU in just because I like the new blood. Old blood, old wannabe blue blood, now new blue blood. Go
I
ahead.
like it. I like SMU in that spot. I'm okay with Alabama ahead of Miami. That's fine. Miami's strength of schedule's bad. I would want SMU to stay in, even if they lose, and probably bump Alabama out. To your point about the SEC, there isn't a dom. I think Texas is the closest thing they have to a dominant team. And if Texas goes over to Atlanta and beats Georgia, I think Texas and Ohio State are actually very similar. Really similar football teams. Very good defensively. The front seven's good. They've got NFL guys on every level of their defense. Offense has a bunch of good receivers. Running game can be hit or miss. And the quarterback, it comes down to the quarterback play. You know, Quinn Ewers takes a lot of, former Ohio State quarterback Quinn Ewers, takes a lot of flack down there because he's got Arch breathing down his neck. You know, the pressure of him. If Ohio State and Texas played, it'd be a hell of a football game. And I think that's kind of one I want to see down the line.
I'm with you. Hey, last thing about this. If Oregon and Texas hold sway, what are the first round byes? I mean, from you, and what are the first round byes if Oregon and Texas, because that thumps obviously Penn State out of it. That thumps Georgia out of it. And then number two, where does Georgia fall to?
All right, let me write this out real quick. So
Georgia,
let's
which
do
would have three losses.
right. Let's do it this way. Let's say the chalk wins this weekend. So we get Arizona, Oregon, Texas, SMU, and Arizona State. That, by the way, for your listeners, all four schools in their first year in their new conference,
Yeah, isn't that
which
crazy?
is wild. So I think you go there, Notre Dame 5, Ohio State 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'll
Tennessee?
work with, let me go Tennessee 7,
You
good
think
call.
ahead of Georgia?
I think they would, that's a tough one too.
Yeah,
Tennessee or
no.
Georgia 7, Tennessee or Georgia 8, the other one will be 8. So there's your probably home playoff games. They won't like penalize Georgia too much. How heaven forbid they
Yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
Indiana. I need, oh, Boise State will be number 4. I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
Yeah, I forgot about
So
yeah.
they will be 4. Arizona State will be 11. That would be Ohio State's first round opponent. I think they would slip Alabama at 5 and get Alabama, Notre Dame, 5-12. Who am I? Oh, Penn State would be. So
Yeah, exactly.
Tennessee, ooh, Penn State, I got to find a hole for them.
Gonna look like a Plinko board.
I think Penn State would be 7. Tennessee, Georgia, 8, 9. Indiana 10, but they may fidget with those matchups so they don't get Tennessee, Georgia, and Penn State, Indiana.
Yeah.
So then you're that so 7 through 10 could be jumbled, but I'll say in that scenario, Notre Dame plays Alabama, Ohio State plays Arizona State in a rematch of, you were probably at that
The Rose
Rose
Bowl.
Bowl with what
The
Jake
Rose
was
Bowl,
saying.
1996 Rose Bowl.
Arizona State.
1996 season Rose Bowl. Go ahead,
Yeah,
what?
they better wear those uniforms with the pitchfork, Sparky and the pitchfork
Yeah,
inscribed.
exactly.
So that'd be a favorable matchup for Ohio State.
Yeah. You know, and here's the thing. I don't have any problem with 5 through 12 being shuffled for the sake of television matchups. I mean, you know what I mean? Or interesting, compelling matchups. I don't think you want to see a couple of teams playing conference opponents in that first round. I don't. So, but then that sets them up to get to play a conference opponent in the quarterfinals, you know, or semis. So it is what it is.
Bo Bishop told me on the air yesterday at 97.1, a good friend of both of ours. He
Yeah.
said they will make television programs,
Of course they will.
and
I
they
mean,
will.
they won't admit it because, like I said, and I don't blame them. The committee's just there to find the 12 and move on, or actually 5 through 12. The first four will be will find themselves through the desert. Last thing, if it happens, and in the four round playoff, what is the game or rematch you would like to see most? Bill Bender, Sporting News.
I'll give you a couple. I'd mentioned Ohio State, Texas. I just have thought throughout most of the season, Saturday aside, that Ohio State and Texas have looked the most complete on both sides of the ball and the least inconsistent teams,
Yeah.
if that makes sense. Ohio State
Yes.
up until, noon on Saturday had been the least inconsistent team in the country, even over Oregon. I get it. I would like to see Ohio State, Notre Dame somewhere in there. That's another fun matchup. Notre Dame's been really good. We know what happened last year. Marcus Freeman's done a fantastic job since the Northern Illinois loss. And I'm a Central Ohio Catholic school kid. So I'm allowed to say I want to see that matchup. Yeah.
Your
And then,
penny.
what's that?
Does it give your penny or whatever it was y'all used to all donate, but go ahead on.
Yeah. Hey, the diocese, we've got good athletic, by the way, great athletics in the diocese right now with the way the Watterson's playing and
Yeah.
everything like that. So we definitely love our diocese sports. And then another matchup, I mean, right off the go, Alabama Notre Dame would be a fitting way to start this thing.
Yeah.
Two brands like that and Alabama going up there. We are going to see Southern schools, at least, or Western schools like Arizona State. They are coming. I haven't even checked the weather for December 21st, but it can be cold. Let's not have a lot of wind.
Yeah, bingo. Hey, last thing before we move on. Are you impressed by what the Big Ten did this year? I mean, like you said, there's going to be a winner, it's going to get an automatic berth. And there's going to be the losers going to get a host game in the first round. I'm talking about the Big Ten championship game. Are you impressed by the Big Ten, I guess, in this first expanded college football playoff field? By the way, the Big Ten top four stood up. I mean, stood the test of the season, not the traditional top four. That's not what I meant
I
for
think it was
people.
interesting. I would say the season itself was fun. It's different. I go back to the Michigan USC game. That was the reality check of, wait, this is a Big Ten game. Or when Ohio State went out to Oregon and, impressed with Oregon to get through with a, we can, they haven't had a welcome to the Big Ten moment yet, because they've taken advantage of the stage so far to
Almost at
almost.
Wisconsin, craziest, as crazy a game as there was in the regular season. They Wisconsin had a shot at them. That's crazy.
And we, and you and I, over the years, we've seen good Michigan teams go to Madison and lose at night, and we've seen good Ohio State teams. It's been a long time, but the one against JJ Watt went out there and lost at night. So it's a tough place to play, and seeing kind of that shift, and Michigan going out to Washington and losing, or UCLA and Indiana playing in the Rose Bowl. Those were cool moments. Indiana is a great story. I will say this, I don't know if I talked to you about this. When after Ohio State beat Indiana, I had a predetermined notion of what Kurt Cignetti would be, from Big Ten Media Day and from all the viral clips, but just a good football coach. He was very highly complimentary of Ohio State. He didn't even address the end of the game because I don't think he cared. And he was comp he's got a good football team. So that guy knows how to coach. That was a pleasant surprise. I think the middle of the class of the Big Ten is average, but Michigan can jump up and bite you. That's been proven. USC started to play better. Nebraska made a bowl game. And oh, by the way, Kirk Ferentz won eight games. So, I mean, that's like the sun came up this morning. So the Big Ten had a fun conference. I think they'll have a strong bowl season. I didn't even mention Illinois went 9-3. So I do think they need to figure out the scheduling a little bit. The imbalanced scheduling, maybe we look at going back to divisions, Tim. As much as like a, if they could get two more teams, Tony Gerdeman always, I'll always give him credit for this. And you call it the two tens. You go get two Big Ten conferences in one.
No. Mine is the best. Mine is, you would call it the Big Ten times two. Big Ten X two.
Marketing opportunity there. So let's get 20 teams and do two conferences, and then you can play everybody in your mini Big Ten. So I think that was the one thing, because we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't say that Indiana took advantage of the soft schedule. And Ohio State played a tough Big Ten schedule this year.
But you know what? Indiana played the schedule that the computer spit out, or whoever spit it out, And then what was missing is, Bo and I talked about, because I've been kind of a co-host on his show several times this year. What was missing, the SEC did a good job of giving you a marquee value game almost every week.
Every week.
And well,
Every
yeah,
week.
every week. I thought that was good marketing on their part. And then it gives them the ability to sit here right now and beat their chest that why so many teams who really aren't deserving to be in a playoff should be in the playoff, because they played each other, high caliber opponents. So I just think, when you lose three games in your own conference, how should you be considered still in a 12-team playoff? How should you still be considered a legitimate part of that 12-team playoff? When I know Georgia could end up with three losses, Alabama's got three, and we're sitting there right now trying to figure out how they're going to fit in on Sunday morning, right? And especially if Georgia gets beat, is what I'm talking about. I mean, it would give it three losses. So, one of them's out, the way I look at it, one way or the other. Agreed.
Yeah, I mean that would probably be the case. I mean, you would have to bump some teams around. So, I knew there would be three lost teams make the playoff in this format, because it just, if you look historically at the last 10 years, it was going to happen. I do think the thing about the SEC that you can sell to me that I'm like, I'll buy that, is they have tough road environments to deal with. So is the Big Ten, but you got it, like Ole Miss going to the Swamp, that's a tough game. Alabama losing at Oklahoma, that's fine. Alabama losing the way that they lost at Oklahoma is not fine. Going down there and laying a 24-3 dud, that's the one that sticks out to me the most with them, is like, you can go 9-3 in that conference. That's fine, and lose your road games. And I forgave you for Vanderbilt, and I forgave you for Tennessee. That's a tough loss.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, I mean, 24-3, that's not, it's, you're a golfer, Tim. I was like, yeah, I golf in scrambles all the time. How many, you can only buy one mulligan at the scramble. You have to pay $5. You shank your first drive. You don't get to shank three drives. At some point, you got to start hitting the ball down the fairway.
Yeah. And that loss to Vanderbilt, I mean, yeah, we can talk about Vanderbilt being the darling of the whatever, and the way they've come back, basically they're taking advantage of transfer portal in their own way, just like Indiana did. But I mean, that was a quasi home game for Alabama, and they got thumped, and they got beaten that game. I mean, that wasn't a fluke. So they've got two really black marks on their resume, which I don't understand why everybody keeps thinking they should be in this playoff. I mean, yeah, they beat Georgia. Well, they're not the only one that beat Georgia. You know what I mean? And so, what does that mean? I don't. It's just. That's where it falls blank for me is you are not one of the elite teams this year, Alabama. Step aside. And that's the way it is. And help one of these struggling other bowl games have some kind of marquee value. Hey, Bill, real last quick question. I know you gotta go. Just your overall take on Ohio State fallout from 13-10 loss to Michigan, stunning loss, in my opinion, because you offered up no offense when you needed it. By that I'm talking about they tried to run the ball into a brick wall and did not succeed. Had a couple of turnovers, a lot of yada 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 right on down the line. Your take on Ohio State as we sit here right now getting ready for the playoffs.
Well, the psychological test comes now because, I've watched Alabama in 2017 lose the Iron Bowl and win a national title. So you can't say it can't be done. Watched them do it. They beat Clemson, beat Georgia, and Ohio State has that kind of talent to do that. As for the game, the stat that matters to me was, if you look on Pro Football Focus, 17 carries for 41 yards between the tackles. One of those carries was a 17-yard run by Judkins. That means you had 16 plays for 24 yards at two players who are going to play in the NFL for the next decade. Mason Graham is a beast. Kenneth Grant is a beast. You went, not only did you go with the strength of the Michigan defense, you did it with the weakness of your offense. And if that's ego or whatever it is, just go win the football game. The tempo passing worked at the end of the half. Yes, it was windy. But you could say it was windy, but Ohio State did not throw a pass of 20 yards or more the entire game.
Well, the one to Jeremiah Smith in the end zone, but it was a pass
It
interference.
doesn't count, but yet, like in the book, it doesn't count. But what happened? Good thing happened when you did. So, and Jeremiah Smith wasn't targeted. You didn't use your strength, which is on the perimeter. You have three receivers that are going to play 10 years on Sunday. So why not use those guys? And then, the kick, the field goals. I typically don't blame kickers, If you have to resort to blaming kickers, then yeah, you should have made them, but I'm not going to pin this on Jaden Fielding.
Yeah, but it was a difference in the game finally.
It was, but I mean, finish your drives then. Finish your drives in the red zone. And I just think at some level, Michigan's in their head a little bit. And you've heard that all week, and I think it's real. I
Whose
think
head, though? Is
Well,
it
we
whose
know
head? The players or the coaches?
both.
Yeah, but
Both.
I think the coaches more than anybody.
Because the coach, well, here's the thing, Tim. Do you, I think, I love how Ohio State, I think they need to figure out how to emphasize the rivalry. Sometimes I hate to say it, but maybe they're emphasizing it a little too much.
Yeah, I mean that.
Because then you build the pressure, and you could see the pressure in the stadium, you could see it in their faces.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Bill Bender of the Sporting News, one of my good friends. Always puts things in logical order. Did you notice how meticulously
We got it done.
he was looking at the college football playoff rankings? Because that's what the committee's got to do on Sunday morning. Boy, I'd like to see. It would probably be like watching paint dry, watching these guys decide things. But there would be these moments where somebody would spill some paint. Don't you think, Bill?
Yeah, you know, I know Jim Grobe's on the committee. He's
Yeah.
a friend. His son was linebacker at Ohio University, my roommate in college, and I always ask Jim. Jim's former Air Force defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
You know, he's very straight-laced, so he isn't going to give me too much of what goes on in there. But if they've got guys like him in there, they've got the right people in there.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, hey, Bill Bender, thank you for joining this impromptu Tim May show, my friend. And ladies and gentlemen, until we see you next, we'll see you then.